Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Monday here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Chris Carter, joined today by Ray Fittipaldi, and we're going to explore some interesting points about who the Steelers should be focusing on to keep personnel-wise. Ray Fittipaldi wrote an interesting story about what the Steelers' options are in extending Najee Harris with a fifth-year extension, but also other key players they need to keep their eyes on, and maybe some other players they need to let loose so that they can build more space, get salary cap space on the roster. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, as always, bringing to you this show on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes, as well as all the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Reminder, this show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go down to the North Shore, the best bar in all of town is Mike's Beer Bar. They have over 500 different available beers, 300 local beers, 80 of those local beers available on tap. They have a lot of different options and over 20 televisions to check out whatever sporting event that you could possibly want. More on Mike's Beer Bar later. Ray, we're back here after the weekend. Playoff football has continued. The conference championships are set up, but the Steelers have interesting decisions to start making about how they want to proceed with things. Now, we're getting into coordinator stuff. We talked about a little bit about that last week, but let's talk about personnel-wise. You wrote a story about the Steelers' fifth-year option decision on Najee Harris, their running back, three straight 1,000-yard seasons. And there's been lots of ups and downs with Najee. There's been talk about, you know, his lack of production at times, but then there's also been his strong performances like he had some this year. And you wrote that this should be an easy call for the Steelers. What do you see the Steelers doing with Najee Harris's extension?
I mean, yeah, Chris, given that it's only $6.6 million, against your cap in 2025, which, you know, really will be less than 3% of your salary cap. So for me, for a guy who's never missed a start, who has started 51 consecutive games, 53 if you want to count the two playoff games, he's everything that they've asked him to be. He's not a guy who's going to bust big runs. That's
right.
That's not who he is. But he does have the demeanor to play in the type of offense that they want to play. And that's a strong running game, a guy that you could lean on. And they got a good thing going there with Jaylen Warren, kind of a nice 1-2 punch. I would put that 1-2 punch up against any other 1-2 punch in the NFL. So they finished 13th in the league in rushing. You know, people, we could do a separate argument about whether you should invest a first-round pick in a running back. But I say, given the salary, only $6.6 million, I think is kind of a no-brainer.
I feel you on that because, like you said, that's not paying a whole lot of money for a guy who, like, let's be honest, right now the Steelers still kind of need. You know, like if they got rid of him, they'd have to reinvest a draft pick or another signing into a running back that you're not sure about. And you know, with Najee Harris, like you said, you're getting durability, you're getting a guy that the team revolves around. When the team's been down, he's been one of the guys that steps up and often is a vocal leader, but also an on the field leader with the plays that he makes. And you know, and also like you haven't seen Najee Harris with a strong offensive line. You've seen him with, you know, an up and down offensive line. Like this year, the Steelers offensive line's probably been the best that it was in his 3 years with the Steelers. And even then it was still inconsistent at best. And I think that's something that the Steelers are probably like, you know what, Najee Harris, you could extend him for $6.6 million. I imagine that, you know, after that extension, you could sign him to a longer extension if you wanted to, for not that much money compared to what some of the other top flight running backs make who are available year in and year out. So I'm right with you. I think this is an easy layup here for the Steelers to make this decision, extend Najee Harris, then build off of that, and keep that guy there. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what that sets up the emphasis to be in other positions on their roster, because whereas extending him is an easy decision, you got other players, including a guy like Pat Freiermuth, who would also be up for a contract pretty soon. And that, you know, when you extend one player and you're paying guys like TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and other guys that you're paying big money, those become tougher questions as you start to have to pick and choose who you don't give big extensions to.
Yeah, I still think, obviously, they have to decide by May, first week of May, on what to do with the fifth-year option. After that, I see Freiermuth as the biggest offseason priority. As you know, Chris, they don't have a lot of big-name free agents. I mean, their free agents are, you know, Levi Wallace and, you know, guys of that ilk. There's no big guy that they have to go up, you know, and re-up this offseason. So, you know, I think, unfortunately for Freiermuth, he didn't have the year where he could maybe, you know, max out and get a big tight end contract. But I still think he's worth it. You know, when you talk about drafting and developing, you know, you do that with Najee Harris. You sign him to the fifth-year extension. And then another contributor, a guy that Mike Tomlin identified as a leader last week in a season-ending news conference, you got to get that guy locked up too. So I don't know what the number will be at this point. I would imagine it's going to be 11, 12 million, somewhere in that range. That's kind of the going rate for a tight end of his caliber. So with no other big free agent moves to make, I think this is probably the one big move that they will make either before training camp or during training camp this year.
I think it's something they need to make, because Pat Freiermuth, not only the leadership component, when Mike Tomlin did say that on Tuesday, but also, you know, I think you've seen he could be a reliable guy over the middle. He's improving as a blocker, and the Steelers need that for whoever is going to be their quarterback moving forward. They need reliable pieces. And also, I think, you know, just position-wise, it is much easier to pay a good tight end than a good wide receiver in today's NFL. Like I don't think that they spend anywhere near as much on Pat Freiermuth as they did say, like Deontay Johnson, you know, for example. You look at it like next year, Deontay Johnson's a $15.8 million cap hit. Even when you extend Pat Freiermuth, I think the most he gets is to be like $10 million. It's just for the going rate of tight ends, unless you're like Travis Kelce or someone. And Pat Freiermuth's not on that level yet. And, you know, I'm not sure if he gets there in his career. But, you know, he's still a pretty good tight end. I think you can pay him $8 to $10 million a year. But, yeah, I think that's where he's in an interesting position that he could get paid to stick around with the Steelers for quite some time.
Yeah, I think, you know, people talk about, well, I want to see what Kenny Pickett looks like with a real offensive coordinator. Well, I mean, I think the Steelers have underutilized Pat Freiermuth. I mean, you watch these divisional playoff games over the weekend, Chris. Sam Laporta, really good player. George Kittle, really good player. I mean, we could talk about every single tight end and how the middle of the field was utilized by those offensive coordinators and those quarterbacks. So I'm kind of intrigued about what Freiermuth can do with an offensive coordinator who knows how to attack the middle of the field with a quarterback who's maybe a year older and a year wiser and is maybe better to get him involved in the offense. So I still think there's a lot of potential to tap there. I don't think we've seen the best of Pat Freiermuth, and I think if they can get the coordinator situation straightened out, I think he could even take a step and become, you know, an even better player. And I think, you know, that's what we're all waiting for here as he enters year four.
That's going to be the interesting thing, right? Year four is always a big, big year for that. And listen, we've seen a lot of guys get re-signed by the Steelers. I wonder if we start to see like the holdout situation that we saw, you know, from TJ Watt and then from Deontay Johnson. Alex Highsmith didn't really participate in that. He kind of just, he showed up to every practice and then he got paid. But I do wonder if that trend is kind of broken now and if Pat Freiermuth will be fine there. And also because I feel like it's a little different for a tight end versus a guy, guys that are wearing a tread on their bodies as much as like an edge rusher might during training camp. But we also have to talk about the guys who the Steelers probably aren't bringing back. And that's another question that leads to questions about salary cap space to create opportunities for new players. We'll talk about the players that we think the Steelers are most likely to cut and who might also be some surprise cuts here on the other side of the break of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, stick with us. We got a lot to discuss. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Whether you're in town to enjoy a simple sporting event, whether you're just out for a night on Pittsburgh, Mike's Beer Bar is the place you gotta be. Why? Because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap at all times. And they're always switching new options in and out to get different things for you to try out every time you go there. Trust me, you'll never run out of options because I never do, and I'm always there. They also have over 20 televisions. You can even reserve a television with a table so you and your friends can watch the big sporting event that you want, whether it's the rest of the NFL playoffs, whether it's a Penguins game if they're on the road and you can't make it to the game, or it's Premier League action, anything out there. Mike's Beer Bar helps you get it right there on the North Shore. And you can try the amazing meals. Like, they have steak on a stone, they have seafood on a stone, but either way, you bring those meals to you, they're brought to you on a heated stone. Each piece you cut off, you press into the stone, you choose how well done you want each piece of steak or seafood right before you eat it. It's amazing. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today for the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. We talked about Najee Harris. We talked about Pat Freiermuth. Those seems like those should be gimmies. But let's talk about some of the players who we expect the Steelers to at least get rid of. Ray, one name I think a lot of Steelers fans don't have to ask much questions about is Chukwuma Okorafor. He ended up the year being benched for Broderick Jones. And next year he would be an $11.8 million cap hit. You don't keep that for a backup offensive lineman, and freeing him up would free up about, or letting him go would free up about $8.75 million in cap space. That's a lot of cap space to get for getting rid of a backup there. He's a pretty obvious one, but what are some other moves that you expect the Steelers to do here in the offseason to clear up cap space so that they can make the moves they really need to make?
Yeah, I think another one, and you know, it's a big, big name, is defensive back Patrick Peterson. You look at his cap hit, Chris, almost $10 million for 2024, $9.7 million cap hit. The way they structured that contract, easily they can get out of it. There's a big roster bonus that's due in March, and then you know his salary as well. So, I think they can save upwards of about $6 million if they make that move. And to me, it's not that he's, you know, I value what he did for Joey Porter. Believe me, that's an aspect of it. He was good in the locker room. He's a good team guy, but he's not a starting outside corner anymore. And his exposure to safety, to me, it was okay. In one regard, he made some plays, but tackling an open space was an issue for him. I didn't really like that out of him. And I think if you're going to be a safety in the Steelers defense, you have to be a better tackler. And probably the best scenario for him if he wants to continue to keep playing is to play free safety, kind of a classic center fielder, and the Steelers already have that in Minkah Fitzpatrick. So
yeah,
where does he fit? That's, you know, that's probably the biggest name. I know Cam Hayward is a separate discussion. We can get into that if you like. But, you know, among the guys who are starters, guys who are going to have big numbers in 2024, I think Peterson is probably as good as gone.
So that's the thing. You look at Patrick Peterson, like you said, he's a $9.7 million cap hit. You'd save 6.8 against the cap if you were to let him go. And listen, when he first made that switch to safety, I was impressed because he was not getting he was not allowing receptions. I think it was the Colts game was when he first made the switch there. He was targeted over the next next three games. In fact, the Steelers' last four games of the season of the regular season, he was targeted a total of six times, didn't allow a single reception, and that's impressive. But then he got targeted twice by the Bills, gave up two catches for about 43 yards, including a touchdown there. And I think it became a question as far as like, listen, Patrick Peterson, you know, was obviously good for helping communicate on the back end. And the Steelers desperately needed that because they were missing Minkah Fitzpatrick, Keanu Neal, DeMonte KZ, Trenton Thompson. They're missing everybody at safety. But in an ideal world, I think like you pointed out, the Steelers, they have the guy who could play free safety. And in fact, I think you want to build a secondary or build a safety room that allows Minkah Fitzpatrick to get back to being that free safety. He didn't have a single interception this year because he was doing all the other roles of the safety position. He was in the box. He was in the slot. He was helping here and there. And that was nice for matchups, and that helped with a lot of things. But Minkah Fitzpatrick is supposed to be an X-factor turnover creator for you, and he wasn't this year. And, you know, that despite that, they still were the sixth best scoring defense in the NFL. I think that's a good thing that they did there, but they need safeties who can fly, who can hit, who can play, who could cover the slot. Things that Terrell Edmonds did, you know, for as much as he wasn't really worth the first round pick that it took to get him, he did a lot of the roles that allowed Minkah Fitzpatrick to play in a playmaker role. And I don't think Patrick Peterson helps you do that. And like you said, he definitely doesn't help you out on the outside anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the only defensive back they have to make a call on. Keanu Neal finished the season on IR. You know, Chris, that's a very manageable contract. I want to say that they'd be on the hook for about $2 million to keep him. He's a good, solid, strong safety, good tackler. He's not going to create a lot of turnovers for you. He's not great in coverage. I just think he's solid. So I would keep Neal. The other big decision is KZ. I mean, he's a $3 million cap hit, I think, and you could actually save about $2 million if you would part ways with him. And I think the X factor there is, did they see enough out of Trenton Thompson in that short window? It was a good window for him, short window before he got injured. Would you feel comfortable enough with him to play that third safety role? And that's a big role. I mean, when DeMonte KZ played last year, Chris, I think he played in 14 games. He played 81% of the snaps. So that's a position where they really count on him, the way they are playing those three safety packages. So, you know, that's a factor. I, you know, maybe they do keep KZ because they value that so much. But if Trenton Thompson is ready for a bigger role, he's much cheaper. And, you know, I think they could maybe get away with that. One other consideration, suspension history for substance abuse, now suspension history for health and player safety standards. So it's not just his play. It's how much can you count on him if he gets another hit and he's suspended. And, you know, that's a whole different story.
That is a whole different story. And again, I also think DeMonte KZ, you know, he is a hard hitter when he lines things up, but he's not I don't think he's a guy who makes tackles on every angle on every part of the field. And you know, he doesn't have the bigger bodied guy to kind of match up with tight ends the way you'd want, which again would force you to, you know, bring Minkah Fitzpatrick out of his position there. While you do want another guy who could play deep safety to allow Minkah Fitzpatrick to kind of move around a good bit in your defense, I do feel like the Steelers need to add someone to the safety room that can add some versatility a little bit more, you know, be a guy who could either play back and let Keanu Neal be the box guy, or a guy who can play up and, you know, you have DeMonte Casey be another deep guy with Minka so he can do more patrolling and kind of play that robber role over the middle where he spies on the seams and you kind of let him range around and be that X factor guy. If you get back to doing that, I think it's a big boost for this defense. Again, this defense finished sixth in scoring this year without a single interception from Minka Fitzpatrick. That's crazy to think about because he's such a huge part of what makes this defense really good when it's playing at its best.
Yeah, listen, Chris, people are still getting over the fact that they used a first-round pick on Terrell Edmonds, so I don't know if that's in the cards. But one guy to keep an eye on, and I know he played corner at Iowa for the last year, mm-hmm. Cooper DeJean,
yeah.
Has safety experience, has versatility. He can hit, he can cover, he's a playmaker. If you're looking for another safety to pair with Fitzpatrick, if they have that grade on him, they believe he's a safety rather than a corner, which I think a lot of teams are probably going to conclude by the end of this process, then he would be the one guy, the one safety I would consider drafting in the first round. But again, that's a big, big question mark for me just because they drafted Edmonds, and Edmonds was a great tester too. I mean, Edmonds, yeah. He can run, he's at the body type, and it just didn't work out. So I think maybe there would be some angst about that pick, but if there was one guy who has versatility, who has toughness, who has good ball skills, it would be Cooper DeJean.
I like Cooper DeJean. I like him. Because he's also a playmaker. Like they let him return kicks sometimes, and yep. He was dangerous there. And if you could get a leader like that in your secondary to boost things, you know, a guy who could come in, be a playmaker, be a young playmaker who develops with Joey Porter Jr. And can be a contributor with Minka Fitzpatrick. And also, if he's able to play corner and safety, he could be a Cam Sutton type. That adds more flexibility to what they've liked to do in the Steelers secondary. I think it's a great idea to be looking at him. But, of course, there's lots of positions to be looking at. Offensive tackle, center, linebacker, defensive tackle shouldn't be out of consideration. I want to explore with Ray what the Steelers' priorities should be moving forward, along with some of the other cuts that might be coming here for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the North Shore Drive podcast. More on them right after this break here. Stick with us. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, real quick, I see other cuts that could come for the Steelers that would, you know, free up some money and kind of just alleviate themselves, you know, with a position with guys that, you know, haven't done a really great job this year. I think Mason Cole would be interesting. Because he's a $6.2 million cap hit. He was a big liability in the middle of their offensive line. And if you get rid of him, you free up about $4.75 million. Mitch Trubisky, he's a $7.5 million cap hit, which is not that big. And letting him go would free up just about like $2.9 million. It's not a whole lot there. But yeah. I think that when you add those into the Chukwuemeka, to the Allen Robinsons, you know, to the Patrick Petersons, I even also consider, what about Larry Ogunjobi? Because he's scheduled to make $13.2 million against the cap, and he wasn't making big plays for this defense. You can get $6.2 million back if you let him go.
Yeah. Well, 2 points. I want to talk about Ogunjobi and Cole sure. Because I think they're two interesting decisions there. I think he's not worth the money. That's a bloated contract for Larry Ogunjobi. But, Chris, what other options do they have?
That's a good question.
You know, DeMarvin Leal was a healthy scratch for what, the final 4 or 5, 6 weeks of the season, whatever that was. Isaiah Loudermilk is an okay rotational piece. I don't think he projects to be a starter. Montrevious Adams is a free agent. I mean, they're just kind of stuck there at D-line, and you have to field a team. You have to have somebody with some kind of pedigree there. So I think maybe they're forced to pick that up in an ideal world. That's not a move, if you're in an ideal stage of your roster building, that's not a guy that you keep. Now, Cole is another interesting decision. They're paying Nate Herbig $4 million a year, and they're barely using him. So, you know, if you still have Nate Herbig, let's say they cut ties and they save that $4.75 million by releasing Mason Cole, can you count on Nate Herbig to be your starting center in 2024, so you're not in a position to reach in the second or third round if your guy's not there where you grade him. You know what I mean? So let's say Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Let's say you have like an early third round grade on him. You don't necessarily want to draft him in the middle of the second round where they're picking,
right,
if that's not where the value is. So, you know, center's a really difficult position to draft, I think. You almost never see him go in the first round anymore. You always see a run second, early third round on those guys. So I think it's all going to depend on the Steelers board. But my point is, you do have a lot invested in the interior of that line now. Say Amalu's making a nice buck. Daniels is making a nice buck. Even your backup Herbig is making a nice buck. If they believe in Herbig, I think they can move on from Cole. And I think they could probably draft a young guy to develop behind Herbig. Or if they get lucky and their guy is there in the second or third round, and maybe that guy is just a step in quality starter, day one starter, and then the problems would be solved.
I think that is the question right now, is do you move on from him and see if you can get another answer there at center? Because like you said, the Steelers don't like to go into drafts needing a position, because when you do that, you set yourself up with like an Artie Burns situation where you draft the guy and, you know, and that either you hit the home run there or you force yourself into a pick that shouldn't have come at that time on a certain position. I do think that there are legitimate concerns there. And it makes me wonder what do you do with Mason Cole? Because like you said, let's say they do draft a guy and it does work out. Let's say, you know, Jackson Powers from Oregon, he's one of the guys that everyone's talking about in this draft class. And turns out he's the man. You at least know you have a backup in Mason Cole, who, you know, he wasn't good for the Steelers this year. I mean, he gave up a lot of pressures, wasn't consistent, but he at least brought stability to the offensive line compared to, you know, when they had Kendrick Green there. And I think that's where last year he was a relief to have on the Steelers offensive line. And as far as a second option, not all that bad to consider there. So I hear you on that. And I think that's something that they have to explore. You know, what does free agent at center look like, you know, when all's said and done and everyone lets go who they let go? You know, can they get a guy who's a better value there? Those are important questions. But the big question is really, where do you see the Steelers prioritizing in free agency right now? Because like you said, they don't have a lot of guys they have to pay to keep around this year because of this is the year of the 2020 draft, which, was Chase Claypool and the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade picks. And the one guy that they really wanted to keep from there is Alex Highsmith, who's kept around right now. So if they make these moves, let's say they get rid of Chuk Sokor for freeing about 8.7, you know, Patrick Peter frees up another 6.8, Mitch Trubisky another 3 million, and then, you know, other guys that you free up. Let's say they free up about, they can get to about like $20 to $30 million in cap space going into free agency. What should be their priority this year?
Well, obviously, your quarterback situation has to be figured out. So I think, you know, whether it's Mason Rudolph or somebody else, you almost have to account for between $5 and $7 million a year for your backup quarterback. But the other position that I would target, and, you know, we talked about him last segment. Well, we didn't talk about him, but he's among those guys, is receiver Allen Robinson.
Right.
He's not going to be back. He was your number three receiver this year. I think they're going to draft a receiver early, Chris. I don't know, first round, second round, third round. I definitely think top three rounds, because Johnson's going the last year of his contract. But above and beyond that, you need that veteran guy, that kind of glue guy, to come in and be your number three guy. Now, ideally, he doesn't make a lot of money. Maybe a guy like Philadelphia's Quez Watkins, who's a free agent. It's a guy that Andy Weidel is familiar with. Maybe you bring him in here on a relatively cheap deal, and he could be that stability, you know, that you're looking for until these younger receivers, step up. So that's the one position I'm looking at. Obviously, you can go D-line, you can go O-line, you can go inside linebacker. There's a lot of holes here that have to be filled in, but those positions are also pretty strong in the draft. I mean, do you want to invest in an offensive lineman, Chris, when this tackle class is very deep again? Even the interior offensive line class, there's depth there. There's not a lot of first-round guys, but there's a lot of depth there. and it's not a great draft for defensive linemen. But do you want to shell out that big money for that impact guy when you're already paying Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi? So, I mean, there are tons of decisions that we're going to get into in the coming weeks, but I think you definitely have to draft a receiver early, and you have to definitely add a guy, a veteran guy, in free agency.
I think those are definitely some concerns they're going to have to address, because I think one thing that's coming up too is the decision between which receiver do you want to pay? Because Deontay Johnson, he's a $15.8 million cap hit this next season. And I think that's totally – that's an acceptable number for what he brings to the table. But that's the last year of his contract, and he'll be 29 the next year, which means you have to make a decision. Do you extend him even further? Because if you do, that's going to make it tough to sign George Pickens long-term to also a big deal. So if you draft another wide receiver, you put yourself in a position where you could say, all right, George Pickens, the new number one, this other receiver is the number two. And then if Calvin Austin would develop as the number three, or you pick up another free agent, that allows you to kind of keep that flexibility moving forward. And then when it's time to pay George Pickens in a couple of years, you're ready to just do that instead of having to wonder, you know where that money's going to come from because you're still paying Deontay Johnson. So I'm right with you. Receiver is something that they are probably going to be looking at moving forward, especially in the draft. Last thing here. You brought up offensive line and how this is a great class for the tackles, especially. Is this a chance for the Steelers to go get a right tackle so that they can finally move Broderick Jones to left tackle where he was supposed to be all year long?
Yeah, I mean, they would have flexibility. Listen, if there's a stud left tackle there, they know that Broderick Jones can play on the right side now.
That's true. Right?
And – traditionally, I know this is changing in the NFL a little bit, Chris, but traditionally your right tackle is your best run blocker. Mm-hmm. And we know what Broderick Jones can do as a run blocker. His pass pro, it's got to get better. He still has to, you know, improve in that area. So I think they would have flexibility there. You know, is there a guy at 22 who would be a day one starter at left tackle? Or is there a guy at 22 who could be a developmental guy? And maybe you stick with Dan Moore for one more year and you bring this guy along, and then midseason, boom, you insert him like you did Broderick Jones, right? I mean, there's all kinds of different options that you could take there. So, yeah, I definitely think you would like to have the idea of having your bookends in place for a while. We all know they have to get younger and better on the offensive line. And if they wanted to do that, and I'm not saying that they will, because they need a corner – they need a defensive lineman. But if they wanted to go that route, this is a very deep tackle class, and I think they can find a good one at 22 if they do want to go in that direction.
We'll see what their plan is. We'll have a lot of NFL draft discussions and coverage here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette all offseason long, as well as getting you ready for what their free agency moves are. Stay tuned with all of that at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. Reed Ray's story on what the Steelers should do with Najee Harris, as well as all of our coverage of where the Steelers are as they start the early process of their offseason program. He's Ray Fittipaldi. I'm Chris Carter. This is the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mike's Beer Bar, for always sponsoring our content here. Find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content. We're back Wednesday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.